thought I was blooming because for the first time in about, I don't know, 35 years, I bought myself some new clothes.
Yeah.
Four pairs of trousers. And, well, I have a trousers update, basically. Baggy trousers, dirty shirt, pulling hair and eating dirt. Teacher comes through breaking up, back of the end of a plastic cup. So I thought I'd bought four pairs of the same.
Yeah.
And we did put it out on socials recently, the pair that I bought.
Because you were a bit dissatisfied at Pete and my
reaction.
Lack of reaction,
yes,
I think,
I was.
To your new pants. I think that you hoped they would make a bigger splash than they did.
Yes, Pete, you weren't impressed by the carabiner little bit on the pocket.
Well, it had an extra little handle there when we weren't sure about, and also that they just seemed too big for you. But you, you seemed very happy with them because you did the typical like lazy shop, really, where you've gone, here's one pair of pants that I like, and you bought them in four colours.
Yes, well, absolutely, and it got even lazier because it turns out that these aren't the same as the other ones.
Oh.
So this is a different pair.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh.
The problem
well,
with
they've
them...
they've got a little extra something going on.
A comfortable, yeah. But it's like I've got room for a front pouch.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's attractive to look at as you're walking or...
No, I mean, some people like the wider crutch area and need the extra space.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I got them.
So is it like your crutch area kind of goes down halfway to your knees
kind
of thing?
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I didn't know that until I put them on this morning, literally, and went, oh, they don't fit either.
It's very fashionable to have the lower crutch.
Is it?
But it's mainly that I also notice you've once again chosen a pair that are too big for your waist and I can see the top of your butt crack.
Yeah, my Bricky's cleavage is showing and I can feel it because I'm a little cold in the kidneys this morning.
It's on Insta this morning because a lot of people jumped in and judged your pants last week and gave a vote. And I mean, it's just that like maybe you're a slimmer man than you know. Well, I feel like you're maybe dressing for a body that you don't have.
No, I think, you know, we've spoken about this and you've been very open. You know, we all have these unique body shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it fits your waist, it doesn't necessarily fit your
always.
Bum.
Yeah.
And now I've got this huge room for growth,
well,
personal growth
store
in the front.
There? It's like a squirrel storing nuts.
I'm
actually,
leave that one alone.
Pretty well then.
Yeah, yeah.
Pete, Matt, and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
He's a friend of the show and back on our TV screens tonight for season 10 of Have You Been Paying Attention? But holy hell, have you seen him on the cover of Men's Health magazine? Please welcome the ripped and delicious Ed Cavalli.
Oh, he's also hot. Ed Cavalli, g'day, mate.
Hello, guys. Thank you so much. And I understand that Pete and I have had a falling out. That's why he's off today.
That's the reason, yes.
Can we ask you on air why you and Pete have had a falling out? Do you want to give your side of events? We've heard Pete's, obviously.
As we know, Pete's dodgy. We know that. We've known that for a long time. And I did my cover of Men's Health magazine. And Pete offered to be my spray canister, and I said no, because I know what he's like. You know what I mean?
Yep. No, it's okay. Everyone's got to draw the line somewhere. We get it.
Oh, lovely pun.
Now, Ed, look, I mean, have you been paying attention? Is it much like joining a book club where it rolls around and you feel like it's fun to be a part of and then you get to the Monday, you realise you haven't done your homework and you have no idea what's going on and you're maybe just going to pull it off?
Well, it's the first time I've heard it compared to a book club. Normally it gets compared to a cult and they're waiting for a true crime podcast about it. But it's... So honestly, guys, it is so much fun. Look, we try and have, as you know what it's like when you work with people a long time and work together for a while, you kind of, familiarity breeds contempt, but which is why the lockdown was so good, because we were doing it remotely and people thought it was because of the various lockdowns, and that's not true. It's only because Sam, Tom and I legally don't have to be in the same room together, which is something that we've put in place for a long time now.
Good contracts.
Ed, I'm sure you're sick of talking about this, but I mean, I'm just looking at your photo on the cover of Men's Health with your beautiful wife.
Why would
wife.
I be sick of talking about that?
Well, I don't know.
I haven't had a piece of bread since 1986. Why would I be upset about talking about it?
Man, I mean, I guess people kind of think of comedians or them within the arts as kind of podgy, you know, too many late nights, eating a bowl of chips before bed. I mean, you look fantastic, man. How much time do you put into this?
Too much by the looks of things. But look, people ask me how, obviously, I'm on the cover of Men's Health, but it all started because my wife, my beautiful wife, Tiffany Hall, TXO, with her fantastic wellness and fitness program, she's pregnant at the moment. And so she's about to give, she's actually this is exclusively now. She's actually giving birth live on Studio 10 on Monday morning. Right before that, we'll sell some steam mops. And so then they came to Tiff and they said, oh, would you like to be the first ever pregnant woman on the cover of Women's Health?
Nice.
And she said, oh, I don't know. And then they said, well, if your husband, would he do Men's Health? So I said, no. And I said, no, I don't want to do Men's Health. I'm happy in my jumper. I'm weird about it. I don't want to do it. And she sat me down the next day and she said, I respect your wishes, which is why I've said yes, and the shoot is in 3 weeks. Yeah. And that's how it happened.
Yeah, I respect your wishes, but I've got a fitness thing I need to plug, so if you could also be a... But I mean, come on, it's a bit of a cop-out, Ed. I mean, I'm not saying that... I mean, I'm proud of you because, gee, you do look fit, and any person who goes without bread or cake or any of the things that I live off, you know, I understand your sacrifice, but also it's pretty easy to look like that when you've got a wife as a personal trainer, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, the influences I'm having on my partner are profound, just not in the way that he had hoped.
What's he rocking? If he was going to do the cover, what magazine would he be perfect for? If he was going to do a cover in 3 weeks, which magazine would you think he'd be perfect for?
Well, I know I'd be on Undertaker's Monthly.
Undertaker's Monthly.
Wow. I think I'm just part of a magazine called Cake That.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice.
When I was at university, I went out with a girl, and she was trying to get into showbiz, and she said, you'll never believe it, I've booked a gig. And I said, what have you done? And she goes, I've booked my first ever acting/modeling gig. And her job was to go and wave the bundles of $50 and look happy for a copy of Take That magazine, or Take 5 magazine, to be on the cover.
Oh.
Right? And I said, how much did you get paid? And she said, the irony of it was, I was holding more money in the shoe than I got paid to do it.
Oh, a life in the arts, my friend. A life in the arts.
My friend.
Well, it's been a pleasure objectifying you this morning.
No, I applaud it. And, you know, I did this shoot, right? I'm 42. I try and get the best possible shape I can. And Hughie says to me, go to your DMs. There'll be influencers. There'll be models. You're going to have a lot of offers. So I'm excited, right? So I did Dancing with the Stars. Got no offers from dancers. I mean, you're meant to have an affair. That's the whole point. And now I do this. I go into my DMs. There's only one. It's from a male dancer on Dancing with the Stars, and all he said was, I see you wearing tracksuit pants to cover your chicken leg. What's the point?
You're looking awesome, bud. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Ed.
We're on tonight after MasterChef. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah, thing. Yes,
no worries at all.
Have You Been Paying Attention show.
Yes.
Absolutely. Season 10 of Have You Been Paying Attention. It launches tonight at 8:40, only on 10, and 10 Play on Demand. And, of course, Hughie, Ed and Erin. You can check out the three of them together, 6 o'clock this evening on Mix 94.5.
Pete, Matt and Kimber. Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
I've been driving around for some months now with a very bright light on the dash of my car telling me it needs a service.
Oh, okay.
And I've just been sort of politely ignoring it because I didn't feel like it was the right time.
So on your dash, does it literally, it's the you need a service alarm light?
It's the universal symbol of a massive, like, wrench,
okay.
I guess. Yes. And it's bright orange to the point where I have to put a sticky note or something in front of it to stop it from being so incredibly offensive while I drive.
Wow. Okay.
It is so bright. It is brighter than the lights that indicate that your headlights are on, anything else. And the thing is that it conveniently comes up on my car about 4,000 kilometres away from when I have to have it serviced.
Right.
So it's a long time of driving it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally was like, all right, it is time to get the car serviced. I better get out the service book so that they can stamp it and I can later on prove to people I bothered to take care of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got the book out and I had this moment where I was like, while I've got this out, I might have a look on this feature on this car that I've been driving for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And see if there's something I can do about it. Because I've been annoying my neighbours, I would imagine. No one said anything. They're very polite. But I would imagine that this noise at 4:30 in the morning is quite irritating.
Okay, yeah.
Over and over. Because, you know, sometimes too, I'll open the front door on one side to put something in and I make that noise. And then I close that door and then I go back around to the other side where it's already armed itself and I do it again.
Right.
So multiple times, and I've just found out in this service book when I got it out, I found out in the manual that I could have deactivated the entire time. There's a setting in there where you can set it to high, medium or low, or off entirely. And I have had that car for 6 years and I have never, ever investigated why it has this ridiculous, annoying beep.
Well, to be fair, I wouldn't have thought that you could turn it off. I just would have thought that's what happens when you lock or unlock a car.
I'm hoping that's why my neighbours are being forgiving about it, because they think I can't do anything about it. But I have changed. I've changed it. It's off. No one will hear it again.
Oh, and, you know, we all know, and we've talked about it many times, the difference that a set, like the dropping of a knife at 4 in the morning, it sounds like 100 Scottish pipers have just walked into, you know.
Not even the dropping of a knife, just trying to gently place a breakfast bowl on the bench is like the loudest noise ever. Yeah, it's good times. Sorry, neighbours.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
How are you raising your kids in this modern world, because it is a minefield.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to raise a good human, in my case, you know, Steppy D, an 11-year-old. And I guess that when your only point of reference is the way you were brought up, you know, it's easier to slip into kind of old-fashioned thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the world moves on. It's not my world anymore. You think about parents who in the 60s were so worried that this sort of music was going to change their children into devils.
Oh, you know,
and we look at that now and go, oh, it just looks so vanilla, right?
Yeah,
and brilliant
absolutely.
Song, but not dangerous at all. But people were genuinely scared by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that Rove McManus and Tasma Walton, of course, two great West Australians, you know, they're trying to raise their child free of gender stereotypes after their kid, I think a little girl, came home and said, oh, apparently blue's a boy's colour.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, well, no, it's just a colour. You don't have to have that. And you think about the, you know, folk stories that we grew up listening to, you know, the Sleeping Beauty who's waiting for her prince to give her a kiss. And it all seemed quite innocent at the time. But now I realise that things have moved on.
Yeah, and those things have changed. Like, I think socially there's stories and stuff, some of them need to be reviewed. I'm not someone who goes, let's throw them all out and burn them and pretend they didn't exist.
No.
But I'm definitely someone who goes, I think we could learn from telling all girls that they're princesses and that we all need to be saved by men.
Yes.
That is rubbish and absolutely not something we should be instilling in children.
Yeah.
But it is also that kind of thing where I just see the modern world as really challenging in a lot of ways. Like, I see one of my friends is really passionate about the climate.
Yes.
And has raised her kids from a very young age to care about the planet and how they recycle. And they really have a recycling system that is beyond measure for most grown-ups.
Yeah.
But she's teaching her kids to do it because once that's part of their normal life, that's just how they'll live.
Well, and let's be honest, the big problems of the world are not going to be solved by governments. We've got to give up on that.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen in the home.
But it's a big commitment for any parent to be like, I want to try. Like the gender stuff,
I get it.
Like every time I wanted to shop for my niece, everything was pink. And I'm like, I hate the colour pink. I don't want it. I was trying to shop anything but.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle to do that. And I get that you want to, you know, you want to try and break some of those stereotypes, I suppose.
Yes.
But also, how do you keep up with how woke it needs to be?
Well, yeah, that's right. And I am genuinely interested to get a few, you know, parenting hacks on that. And what you're doing in your house to just sort of deal with the complexities of this modern world. John's in Pearsall. John, good morning. How are you raising your kids in this modern world?
How you going, fellas and ladies?
Good,
oh,
thank
good,
you.
Mate.
That's good. Well, when we have a birthday party, we have no iPhones, no iPads allowed. They get locked in the safe and they don't come out till the birthday's finished. And all my cousins, they interact and talk and play with one another.
Oh, yeah, that's
perfect.
A good idea. Yes.
And it's, you know, you'd like to think some people have the discipline to keep those things separate, but to have everybody just do it, then that's great.
Yeah, because when they come over, all they're doing is looking down and no one's talking to no one.
It is weird, isn't it, John?
Yeah, they keep saying, oh, I haven't seen them in years. And when they come over, they're not even looking at them.
It's such a strange thing to see a room full of young people all sitting together like for a hangout play date and all just looking at their own phones. But again, you sit there going,
well, you say young people. I see this
all
the time.
True. That is true.
I've got a lot of grown-up friends that are still, executing this behaviour.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Liz in Morley, how are you raising your kids in a modern world?
Communication.
Okay.
It's talking to them about the good, bad and everything else.
Are you learning a lot from your kids, Liz? Are they teaching you things about the modern world you hadn't considered?
My youngest one is.
Yeah, right. How old?
He's 15, but my oldest one's 31.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I've gone through the generation gap of teaching a 31-year-old, a 28-year-old, and a 15-year-old, and it has changed.
Yeah, yeah. It's constantly it's changing, so isn't it?
Yes. And, I mean, the communication with the mobile phone, like John said, it's amazing, but I try and sit down and talk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. I mean, my parents made a lot of mistakes, and I'm sure that they would freely admit to that. But the one thing, it was always open. That dinner table, you could talk about anything. And when they passed away, nothing was left unsaid. And yeah. I feel very good about that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Mm. That's lovely. Ms. Arne in Riverton.
Hi.
Is that how we say your name?
Yes, please. Thank you. You pronounce it correctly.
Oh, well, good, done, good. Ms. Arne, how are you raising your kids in a modern world?
So I came to Australia in Perth 8 years back. We are from a Muslim family background. I'm not non-practicing, but still Muslim. And they came and entered into the kindy on that time. Mm-hmm. Now they're in the high school. It's always tough for an immigrant, and especially from a Muslim background, to blend with the culture, with Aussie culture.
Yes.
To blend with the Aussie culture, was that?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It is tough, Ms. Arne. I mean, my father also, you know, going back to him, he was a migrant from Poland, and mm-hmm. you know, I do understand that it's tough to feel a part of everything.
Mm.
Right, we'll go to Tara from Yanchep for one last one. How are you tweaking things for your kids in the modern world, Tara?
Hey, to be inclusive. So from a very young age, he was taught to respect everybody no matter their age, disability or culture.
Mm.
And when he was nonverbal, even to this day, he will still go up and have a full-on conversation with a nonverbal person in a wheelchair, and it just brightens up their day.
Beautiful. Yeah, great.
Oh, awesome.
Yep. Good advice, that one, isn't it? Just to love and respect everybody.
Oh, yeah, a kinder world.
It's so easy.
It's timeless.
Half
right?
the other stuff wouldn't be as confusing if we just managed that.
Yeah.
Pete, Matt and Kimber. Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Oh, yes. The one and only Adrian Barrich. Good morning, buddy.
G'day, Matty. Hey, Kimber. Hey, Timmy. What's happened? The Dockers have a loss and Pete can't come to work. Is he used to it?
I'm not sure. Well, I didn't actually see the game, Barra, but I knew they must have had a loss because I heard Justin Longmuir being interviewed on 7 News last night and I could barely understand him because his voice was so low and so sad.
So flat, I know. Geez, it was an ordinary weekend, wasn't it, all round? Both our teams got pumped. It's only the Dockers' second defeat of the season and bit of a wake-up call for them. We knew it was a danger game. It was a rainy day on the Gold Coast, and the Dockers blokes apparently were saying, hey, what's this wet confetti stuff falling from the sky? We haven't seen this in Perth much lately. And suddenly they're behind. They had a huge first quarter and couldn't score and then just got away from them after that. They kind of forgot, I suppose, you know, how much work you have to do to win. You can't, it doesn't matter how good you are, you can't just turn up and think that you could, it'll fall into place. You forget about all the hard work. So if you're off 10%, you get rolled. And that's what they, so it's a bit of a reality check. They got Collingwood this weekend. I reckon they'll bounce back. And so there's no need to panic. But sometimes you need these losses just to sort of give you the kick in the bum to keep you going, Barrett, for the rest of the season.
Do you think, you know, we talked to JL on Friday about their fantastic defence. They do have the lowest in the top eight of points scored. Is that, you know, moving forward, it could be their Achilles heel that they won't score enough?
Yeah, and that's why I've sort of been trying to pump up Rory Lobb and Matt Tabanar and those sort of guys, make a little competition between them on the news, actually, so that they can score. Because, yeah, you're absolutely right, mate. That's their Achilles heel. And he's a very good defensive coach, and now he's got to develop some scoring avenues. And I'm sure he will. He's a very good coach, and I'm sure they'll bounce back. Tabanar will be back this weekend. And I've got something to say for the Eagles people too. I just need to explain this. So I just want Eagles people, my blue and yellow-eyed friends, just to tune in for 1 second. Just get ready for this. I just got to explain something to you. Brace yourselves. West Coast aren't really concerned about winning right now.
Okay.
I know that sounds horrible, and that's where they're at. It's all about effort, learning, gaining experience, not really moving up the ladder, if you know what I mean. It's not a priority. you finish 14th as opposed to 18th, you're actually cutting your own throat. So that's the way the system is. And so now it's about getting games into young people and judging people, but not necessarily about winning, if you know what I mean. So,
I don't mean any disrespect to you, but I mean, I do feel like that's Captain Obvious. It's pretty clear that I care about winning right now, isn't it?
Fair point, Kimber. Sometimes you've got to spell these things out, you know what I mean? Only 27,000 people turned up yesterday. The Eagles have got almost 60,000 members, I think. So we're really concerned, the older group, about COVID, so they probably didn't make it. Then there was a big train upheaval, so you couldn't get on the train to the game. They're not going well, but that's pretty unusual, 27,000. So keep the faith, Eagles fans. You've had a great run. 4 premierships in 35 years is pretty good.
I'll just keep talking about those premierships, mate. It gets everybody over the line.
Your play-out music is playing, buddy, but Liverpool, of course, got the FA Cup, another win in penalties over Chelsea, so they're doing pretty well.
That's amazing, yeah. West Coast Fever, top of the ladder. We've got to mention them. And Minji Lee's just won the Founders Cup, $450,000, the 25-year-old from Perth, world number 5.
Wow.
Well done to her, and to all Andrew Simon's friends and family. We love you, we feel for you, and we just can't believe. Grief is the price you pay for love, I guess. So best wishes to all of them as well.
That's beautiful. Pearl of wisdom there from Barra. Thanks, man.
Yeah, good on you, Maddie. Good
on
you, Jimmy.
Best.
All the best, Kimber.